Some of you, see, some people have missed their calling. See, for some of you, and there's nothing, sometimes I think in our society today, we kind of frown on this. But for some people, you know, whether it be the husband or the wife, God has called you to dedicate your time and energy to your family. That's where your energy is supposed to be. Not outside anywhere else. Or let me, I don't want to get in trouble now. I got to watch myself. You know, I got to watch myself. Not necessarily working a job, but I'm going to go past that real quick. But he has called you to dedicate your time and energy to your family and raising your family. And now you've got to look at those resources that God has given you, and then you've got to use those and say, look, I want to be the best dad that I could be. I want to be the best mother that I could be. And I need you to pray for me. I need prayer. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Ghost to help me up in here, because I can't do this thing by myself.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Given a Choice to Stay or Leave, Why Should We Stay? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Given a Choice to Stay or Leave, Why Should We Stay?
As we continue on, we're going to continue in the book of Philippians. We're in a series entitled, Come Out with Your Hands in the Air. And what we have been talking about is whatever situation that you're going through, before you go in with your hands up in the air rejoicing. While you're in it, keep your hands up rejoicing. And when you come out with your hands in the air rejoicing. Paul, in the book of Philippians, some 16 times uses either the word rejoice or joy. And we see that the book of Philippians is a book that deals with rejoicing and joy. And Paul lets us know that in any situation, in any circumstance, we can have joy. As we've gone through this journey so far, we've covered the first 18 verses of chapter 1. This morning, we'll be looking at verses 19 through 26, and I want to focus on verses 21 through 24 as we start today. And in verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And the title of the message today is Given the Choice to Stay Here or to Leave, Why Should We Stay? Why should we stay? Paul, in this passage, is confronted with the possibility to leave this earth and to go to be with the Lord, and with the possibility to stay here and continue to minister. As a matter of fact, Paul emphasizes the struggle in this dilemma that he's facing when he says that I am in a strait between two. In other words, what Paul is saying is that I'm in between a rock and a hard place. I want to go be with the Lord, and I want to stay here. So I'm in a strait between two. And so I want to pose this question to you once again, given a choice to stay or to leave, why should you stay? Why should you stay? I mean, I know sometimes life situations become so overwhelming that you almost want to cry out to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, it's going to take me out of here. You know, sometimes we become so overwhelmed and sad to say that, you know, some people even get to the place where they can't take this old life anymore And so they end up taking their own life because they just can't deal with it anymore. They want to check out. And I know that some of God's greatest saints, so you can't sit here today and tell me that you've never been under this pressure or this struggle, because some of God's greatest people look for a way out. Moses, when he was leading the people of Israel in the wilderness, he told the Lord, "Father, I can't take this people anymore." He said, "Just go on and take my life." As we move on, Job, one of the greatest men that walked across the pages of Scripture, he gave a whole chapter telling the Lord as to why he should have never been born. A whole chapter he talks about why he should have never been born. As we continue on and look at some of the other great men of God, Elijah, running from Jezebel, sat down under a juniper tree and said, "Lord, take my life." And so sometimes situations and circumstances become so overwhelming that we want to check out of here. And Paul's desire is to check out. Now, I don't believe that Paul wants to check out because of situations and circumstances. Paul wants to check out because of his love for Christ. Paul wants to check out because all this one that he had served for so many years, that he wanted to see him face to face. So Paul was in a dilemma, and his dilemma was to stay or to go. And in this passage here, Paul gives us several reasons that if we're going to stay, what we should be doing while we stay. I began to look at this, and as I looked at this, you know, I realized that Paul had a dilemma, if we could go to the next slide. In Paul's dilemma, he had to make a decision. And the decision was to stay or to depart. Now, this word depart is a very interesting word. The word actually comes from a Greek term that means to fold up a tent and put it away to move to the next place. And so what is Paul saying? Paul says, look, I'm in a dilemma, whether to stay here or to fold up my tent and go on and be with the Lord. Now, what are some of the things he has to look at if he stays? Well, if he stays, the one good thing is that he can help other people to grow in Christ. But as we go on, where is Paul writing this letter from? He's writing this letter from jail. So he's already in jail, and he's not sure of the outcome of his trial, so he don't know if he's going, when his trial is over, if he's going to continue to be in jail. So incarceration might still be a part of his existence if he continues to stay. And then we know that Paul was definitely a person under persecution. So if he stayed, the positive thing in him staying was that he would be able to help others grow in Christ. If he left, what would he have to look forward to there? Well, he would be with Christ. He would be face to face with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He would be free from incarceration. And as the old Negro spiritual said, soon we'll be done with the troubles of this world. So to me, this is kind of a no-brainer, right? Incarceration, persecution in this hand. I'll be with Christ. I'll be free. And I'll be done with the troubles. That's kind of, I mean, now, it don't, you know, what do they say? Duh. You know, that's really not something to think over very greatly. But look at the one thing that Paul weighed to help him even, I mean, really, if you look at that right there, that whole thing is imbalanced. Look at that. That whole thing is imbalanced. I mean, definitely, the balances are weighted on the side of departing. There's no question about that. The only thing you got over here that's halfway weighing the scale to stay is to help others grow in Christ. But Paul was so passionate about what God called him to do down here. Look what happened. That one thing on this side balanced the scales, and now Paul had this dilemma. Just take that one, oh my goodness. Just take that one thing away. Take that one thing away. And it's not even an issue for Paul as to what he wants to do. But the one thing that keeps the scales balanced and keeps him with a desire to stay here is to see other people grow in Jesus Christ. Which I want to challenge you at this time, and I want you to consider what is your mission for being here. And then we're going to get into this passage today because Paul gives us some powerful principles in this passage. What is your mission for being here? Everybody should have a personal mission statement. I know I sat down some 15, 16 years ago and put together a personal mission statement. And if you were to look at my prayer book, in my prayer book is my personal mission statement. It's spelled out. It's about a page of things that, of the thing that I feel God wants me to do. And whenever anybody asks me, well, what is your mission? You know, I know what my mission is. My mission is to teach the word of God. That's the mission that God has given me. Now, you might talk to someone else, and they might say, well, my mission is to pastor a church, or my mission is to teach at a Bible school. My mission is to bring up godly kids. That, you know, so different. But my mission is clear. God wants me to teach his word. Now, it just so happens that that is carried out in the capacity of being a pastor. And there are great opportunities not only to teach, but also to serve God in other ways as I deal with this. So as you think about why are you here? Why does God have you here? The first thing that you look at when if you have a personal mission statement is that it should be given by God. Your mission statement. So if you had a mission before you got saved, then you need to sit down and reevaluate that. Because unless you knew the Lord at that point, the chances are is that that was your mission statement and not God's statement for you. So the first thing that you need to do is you need to seek God in prayer. You need to seek God through his word. And you need to ask God, what is it that you have for me to do? Now, secondly, this mission statement should guide your behaviors, character, and values. Whatever your mission statement is, that should guide your behavior, how you act. It should guide your character, who you are, and it should guide your values. What do you value in life? The next thing your mission statement should do is that it should guide your day-to-day actions and decisions. Every decision that you make should be made in light of what you're all about. How can you go weeks and months and do things that's not related to why you're here? You know what you're doing when you do that? You're just wasting time. If you're sitting here today and you don't know why God has you here, if you're sitting here today and you don't know what you're supposed to be about, then you're just wasting time on God's earth. You're just taking up a seat on God's earth and you're taking up God's air. You need to understand what it is that you're about because every day, you know, once again, I'll say this. You know, for me, when opportunities come, you know, to sit down and do some administration or to sit down and do some you know, duties of that nature or sit down and study the word of God, then guess what's going to win every time? Now, I talked to a pastor the other day, and he said that, and I appreciated what he said because I understood what he was saying. He said, you know what? He said, man, I love whenever the church has an issue or project. He said, because, man, I just sit down and I just invest all my time in that, and I get excited about that. He said, whereas I have to really push myself, you know, to study and prepare for lessons and messages. But, you know, and that wasn't negative. That was just where his passion and his heart was and how God had called him. And for me, whenever it comes to sit down and do something administratively, it's a chore for me to do it because that's not where my passion is. That my passion is in teaching the word of God, whether preaching in a sermon, teaching on a Wednesday night, teaching at the seminary, teaching at a Bible school, teaching at the Bible Institute. That's my passion. That's my drive. And how can you go day
days and weeks and months without tying stuff back in to your passion. There's so many things that will come in your life that will try to knock you off center from what it is that God wants you to do. But when you know what it is that God wants you to do, you always have a focal point to come back to. And so your mission drives or guides your day-to-day actions and decisions. And we're going to see here in a second that this was a reality in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul didn't let things, day-by-day decisions, take him off course. Paul always came back to point. Paul always knew what he was about and knew what he was supposed to be doing. And then the last thing that I want to share with you is that your mission, should you decide to accept it, it should impact somebody else's life. Can I get an amen? All right. It should impact somebody else's life. I think of the fact that my daughter doesn't have a car right now. And so she's been catching the bus to work with three kids. And so, the Lord put on my spirit that to take my daughter to work every morning. So every morning I've readjusted my schedule and I pick up my daughter and my grandkids and I take my daughter to work. And it's been such a joy to be able to do that, to see my grandkids every morning. And the first thing they get in the car, they know what we're going to do. What are we going to do? Let's pray, Pop. Let's pray. And when they get in the car, we pray. And I ask God to watch over them and God to protect them and God to help them make right decisions every day. And then, eventually I want to get into, as we go over there, riding along in the car, teaching the principles of God, talking about the Lord as we take that 10, 15-minute ride to work. Because that's what I'm about. I can't let them get in the car with me morning after morning and us not talk about the Word of God. If that's my call, if that's my mission, if that's what I'm supposed to be about, then everything that I do needs to reflect the mission that God has given me. What's point three say? It should guide your day-to-day actions and decisions. Whoa. All right, buddy. What we got going on here? All right, I'll take this off. We'll take care of this problem. Y'all gonna make me work this morning, I say. All right, I'm gonna have to work now. Have to earn my pay at Bethany this morning. All right. Can you hear me now? All right. So it should guide your day-to-day actions and decisions. Now, let's just stop real quick and let me ask you the question. What is your mission? What is your mission? What is it that you're supposed to be about? And let me say this, that I have two fantastic articles, and I just didn't want to, put them up here and give them out, but I have two fantastic articles on, first of all, how you can find out what your mission is, how you can know your mission, and how you can write a mission statement for yourself. And I'll make that available to anybody that contacts a church office, that we will get those two articles out to you so that you will be able to write a mission statement for yourself. You should have, one of the things, and we're going to do this here. I told you, you're going to make me work this morning. The thing I was impressed, when we went to Beaufort's church in Chicago, the name of his church is Christ Bible Church. And the members, every Sunday, repeat it. And I hope I get this right, but some of y'all can help me. Christ is the master, right? The Bible is the message, and the church are the members. Amen. All right, wait a minute now. That wasn't that deep now that y'all still think about that, right? Christ Bible Church. Christ, I forgot, what was that first name? The master, all right.
Christ is the master, the Bible is the message, and the church are the members. Every Sunday they say that. So if you ask them, well, what is Christ Bible Church? They can tell you those three things. And I'm here to tell you that if somebody asks you what your mission in life is or what it is that you're supposed to be about, you shouldn't have to go somewhere and think. You shouldn't have to go somewhere and pray about it. You know, you should have it, and I'm going to say this, at least if you don't have it written down on paper, you need to have it written in the recesses of your heart so that this is your guide. This is the thing that moves you ahead. This is the thing that motivates you, that excites you, that keeps you going, and that you know what it is that you're supposed to be about. You know, I like, some of you like this Peanuts commercial that I heard about, where Charlie Brown and Lucy are talking. And Lucy said, that great theologian, she said that people are like lawn chairs. And Charlie Brown said, well, how's that? And Lucy said, well, you put one lawn chair behind you to see where you've been. You put another lawn chair in front of you to see where you're going. And you put another lawn chair beside you to see where you're at. And Charlie Brown said, oh, he said, I'm just trying to get my lawn chair unfolded. So, see, and you know, that's where a lot of people are. A lot of people, they don't know where they've been. They don't know where they're going. And they don't know where they're at. They're just trying to get their lawn chair unfolded. You're just trying to get it set up, right? But see, you ought to know this stuff already. And so this is the heart of the Apostle Paul in the message this morning. And let me share with you five things as we look at, given a choice to stay or to leave, why should we stay? And the first thing I want to say, and these all begin with E, is that we should stay to expect. We should stay to expect. And what do we mean by this? Paul continued to live on this earth expecting support from Christ. He realized that if he was going to stay here, that he knew where his help was coming from. If he was going to stay here on this earth, he knew was the one that had to strengthen him every day to help him accomplish his mission. Look what he says in verse 19 and the first part of verse 20. He says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Now, what he's talking about, once again, let me give you the background. And, you know, for those of you who may be here for the first time, once again, Paul spent a whole lesson, a whole passage last week talking about his trial and how that he was in jail. And now he lets them know that when his trial comes, he says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Wow, look what he's saying here. He says that whenever I come to trial, he said, I know two things are going to help me to stand strong. He said, first of all, it's your prayer. Wow. Wow. First of all, it's your prayers. He said, I know when I come to trial.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Given a Choice to Stay or Leave, Why Should We Stay? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Given a Choice to Stay or Leave, Why Should We Stay? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Given a Choice to Stay or Leave, Why Should We Stay? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Given a Choice to Stay or Leave, Why Should We Stay? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources, and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.